The first reading is taken from the book of Jude and can be found on page 1232, beginning to read at verse 17. Jude, verse 17. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt, snatch others from the fire and save them. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks. Reading from Luke chapter 21, beginning to read at verse 1. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts and of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. Teacher, they asked, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign they are about to take place? He replied, watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
moment's quiet before I pray. Heavenly Father, may my words be your words. May we receive your instructions through these scriptures, and may we follow them faithfully with the help of the Holy Spirit and to your glory. This we ask in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. My husband and I were usually very conscious with, or shall we say conscientious, with filing away instruction booklets when we bought a new bit of equipment, as the burgeoning drawers of our filing cabinet show. We were less good at throwing them away when we threw the equipment away, so a lot of them are absolutely useless and I don't know what they belong to. And we probably weren't quite so good at consulting them when the equipment went wrong as well. We probably just shouted help, forgetting that we had got the instructions somewhere in our filing cabinet. And there were also those challenging flat pack instructions, MFI in those days, which seemed to require two pairs of eyes, two pairs of hands, and then the bits still didn't match up with the instructions. The bits on the floor didn't look anything like the bits on the bit of paper. We needed a bit more patience and attention to get it right. And in many ways, we need to learn similar lessons in respect of our spiritual lives. And maybe that's something we can do this Lent with the help of the resources and the events that are happening in this parish. But more immediately this evening, we have a little book of instructions which God has given us, thanks to Jude. There may be considerable scholastic discussion about Jude's identity, where and when the letter was written, who it was written to, etc. But there's no denying its message, which is telling us how to live a life that is pleasing to God. And apart from the last two verses, Jude is probably a little known book in the Bible. One commentator describes it, or rather says, in respect of it, to a modern reader, it is curious rather than edifying, with the exception of the beginning and the end. I hope that maybe if you weren't here last week to hear Wendy's excellent exposition of the first part of the letter, you may have found time to read the text. Wendy hasn't let me forget yet that I'd got the cheerful bit and she'd got the dismal bit at the beginning. But maybe, you know, you could listen to her sermon. It's well worth listening to. And in those verses, Jude didn't hold back in making clear his disapproval of those who were a threat to the church. And having unleashed what is effectively a torrent of invective, he now turns to help his faithful people, God's faithful people. And originally, it would appear, looking back to verse 3, that Jude was going to write about salvation, but he changed his mind, or rather perhaps God redirected him when he looked at the threat to the church. And much of that is very relevant today. We need to know and be able to identify those who are against us in order to stand up against them. And Jude calls the people to stand up for the faith by firstly, as we heard last week, he exposed the dangers of those false teachers. And secondly, now he's urging God's people to go on growing in the Christian faith and to lose no opportunity for evangelism. And as we shall see, these last two are the means by which we can be resisting evil, our theme this evening. So how can we be sure of resisting evil and dealing with the work of Satan? Assuming, of course, that we recognise it in the first place, because it isn't always as easy as Jude graphically describes it. But let Jude help us. Having given us all the rather gory characteristics of the false teachers, Jude hasn't quite finished with that subject. There is that ominous little word, but. He is saying that it's exactly what is happening. It's what the people should have expected to happen, because the apostles have been saying it. The actual words that Jude uses can't be found anywhere in the New Testament, so perhaps he's using a book that we've no longer got, or maybe it was a sermon he heard, or maybe it was some other form of apostolic teaching.
But we can learn from some words like in Timothy, and maybe that's another source of them. In Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, we read, "The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons." Whatever, wherever he got the words from, his message is clear. He was saying that error was only to be expected in the church. He emphasizes that these scoffers will follow their evil desires and that they will not listen to God. Importantly, and sadly, they caused division in the church. They destroyed its fellowship by creating little in-groups and setting themselves above other people. And we do see, don't we, in the church and other organizations, the formation of cliques and subgroups causing just such problems. Jude is dismissive of those people. They do not have the Spirit, verse 19, and therefore they cannot be saved. And as we read in Romans, "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit, he does not belong to God." So that is the evil Jude is encouraging us to resist. And his instructions for doing that are first telling us to look at ourselves and then to look out for others. So if you want to be following, do turn to page 1232. So let's look first at ourselves, verses 20 to 21. "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord, Jesus Christ, to bring you to eternal life." So plenty of instructions there to help us stand firm in the faith and to resist evil. And we do need to follow them, or we will be a bit like those flat-pack constructions when we've missed out a step or two, and we end up all wobbly and insecure. So those all-important steps. Step one, build our lives on the foundation of faith. Our faith is life-changing as well as mind-changing. It's not something we just manufacture. We receive this from God through Jesus Christ and through the work of the Holy Spirit. Step two, pray in the Holy Spirit. We need to be a people of prayer. Apart from anything else, it's an acknowledgement, isn't it, of our dependence on God. One of my favourite verses in the Bible, which I sadly fail to live up to on innumerable occasions, is from Philippians chapter 4. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." If we pray in the Holy Spirit, we will ensure that it's God's will, not our own selfish desires. Step three, keep ourselves in God's love. God keeps believers in his love and enables them to keep themselves in God's love. It is suggested that Jude is probably thinking of the Old Covenant described in Exodus chapter 24, when Moses took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord said. We will obey." Well, we know they were famous last words, don't we? So what happened to them? We know. They went astray. Step four. Wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should wait with expectation. Christians should know that Christ's purpose is to bring them to eternal life. We should wait with a sense of expectation of Christ's return. So these last two steps effectively complement what Jude said right at the beginning of his letter. His opening greeting in verse 1 was to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. So assuming we have followed those steps 1 to 4 in verses 20 to 21, true faith is not just to nourish us and to enrich our spiritual life. What about, secondly, others? Verses 22 to 23. "Be merciful to those who doubt, snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy, mixed with fear, having even the clothing stained with corrupted flesh. We should be responsible for others. Evangelism is important. Reclaiming the lost is important. But it's important that we've done steps 1 to 4, because it's no good us throwing someone a lifeboat belt if we haven't got our feet on firm ground. It'd be like those sad cases we read in the media of someone jumping in a lake to save their dog and they can't swim. We need to be on firm ground, don't we? So who is Jude saying we should rescue? There are those who doubt. They're on the brink of going down that wrong path. And maybe, just maybe, they can be talked out of it. It's important we know what we believe so we can meet their error with truth. Then there are those who actually have started down that path and need to be snatched from the fire. And finally, there are those that probably fall into both groups mentioned above. But we should pity and fear at the same time. We need to be aware of the dangers to us as the rescuers, as well as to the sinner. It's possible to become corrupted. We don't really want to get stuck in that quagmire either. But at the end of the day, we need to love the sinner and hate the sin, which isn't always easy. Psalm 1 seems to be clear. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. We know, perhaps even from our school days, says I rather wryly, that getting in the wrong company can certainly lead us astray and can influence our whole outlook and approach to life. However, whilst we need to be standing firm in our faith, we do need to be reaching out to those who are on the wrong paths. Let's introduce them to the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And having given his readers their instructions, Jude ends on a positive note, pointing them and us to God and what he can do for us. This is one of 3 times in the New Testament where praise is given to a God who is able. To walk with God is to walk in safety. As Psalm 121 so eloquently says, "He will not let your foot slip." I love that picture and that feeling that Jesus is holding your hand and you won't fall. So I wonder, are we feeling just a little bit stronger now to resist evil, thanks to Jude? As with those instruction booklets, we are sometimes inclined to misinterpret or actually deliberately ignore God's detailed instructions and do things our own way. And when that happens, we often find ourselves in trouble and having to dig ourselves out of a hole and wishing we'd listened in the first place. It is so important that we read God's word, pray, listen to what he says, and faithfully obey those instructions. I think I'm feeling a bit inspired now to go and empty that filing cabinet of those instruction books that should have long since disappeared. And then maybe next time, it'll be easier to grab the right one. Or maybe, just maybe, and more importantly, I could resolve to do the same with my spiritual life this Lent. Grab the right instruction book, my Bible, more often, and follow all the right steps. How about you? A moment's quiet before we pray together using the personalized version of those last verses of Jude, which will be on the screen. So let's pray those words together. To him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us before his glorious presence without fault and without great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.